Want to make your voice last longer? Let's talk warming up and warming down.
You're a voice actor. You're an entrepreneur. You're a VOpreneur. Welcome to the Everyday VOpreneur Podcast, your guide through the business of voiceover.
Do you have enough clients for your voiceover business? If the answer is no, the solution might be marketing. You've got to do more marketing, and that is where VOpreneur.com comes into the mix. Head to the website for all kinds of resources, including this podcast, free Advice Friday live streams, free PDF downloads, and premium training as well, including courses and coaching. All of it designed to make you a more confident and effective marketer. Get everything you need at VOpreneur.com.
The VOpreneur Podcast. Hey, it doesn't suck.
Not as funny as Conan. Not as cute as Seth Meyers. Not as smart as Colbert. But he's one of us, and that counts for something. Here's Mark Scott, the original everyday VOpreneur.
When your voice is your moneymaker, it becomes even more important that you do things to protect it. Just like you wouldn't let your car run out of oil, you've got to maintain your instrument. But many of us don't. My guest today is going to help us understand why it's essential and offer up some easy ways to do it. She's a successful voice actor with clients including Microsoft, Verizon, and JP Morgan Chase. She is also the founder of the Seattle Voice Academy. Welcome to the show, Shauna Pennington Baird.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much.
This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to getting into this. I have to tell you, I did a highly unscientific poll yesterday. So the time that we're recording this, I did a highly unscientific poll. I put it in the VOpreneur Facebook group and I just asked the question, do you do warm-ups before a session? Yes or no? And the reason why I asked this question is because I've done a session on vocal warm-ups previously on the podcast a couple years ago. And I posted the same question. And I'm happy to report that the results have shifted dramatically. Not that I am taking credit for that in any way, shape, or form, but obviously people are starting to pay a little bit closer attention. But I was quite surprised. So the first time I did this poll a couple of years ago, the vast majority were doing nothing. As of this morning, I checked the poll just before we came in to do this interview, and about 70% of the people who responded, and it was a pretty decent number of people who responded, said that they were doing vocal warm-ups now.
That's great. That's a big deal.
Did you expect that?
No. I come from a theater background and I'm a singer. So I can't not be warmed up down here. It's like in my DNA from college. Like I wake up and I start humming and chewing and getting everything moving. And what would be interesting to poll them is, do they warm down? Because I'm going to make a wild guess. The answer would be 2% have even 2%. Heard of warming down.
Warming down, yeah.
Why would we warm down? Because even though I'm a trained singer and I've been a theater person, I wasn't trained on warming down till maybe 3 years ago, pandemic times, maybe a little right before the pandemic. And warming our voices down, because this is part of our bodies, it's like a muscle, right? If we do sports, we don't go cycle or go run and quit. We can, but if we don't get the lactic acid out of our muscles, it's not so good for us. Same thing. And so depending on what we did, if it was like something mellow, no big deal. You throw out a couple commercial auditions, you don't need to warm down. But if you did a 4-hour video game session with action sounds, about 5 minutes with a straw, of all things, will make your voice feel fantastic for dinner, and you'll be able to do the gig tomorrow. And straws and warming up and warming down. I've become quite evangelical about it. I think it's like the most important thing we can do to keep our voices healthy.
I feel like the whole warm-up thing, it's something we all know we should do.
Right.
And apparently more are getting on board with it, at least according to my highly unscientific poll. But there's obviously still a bunch of us, of which I may or may not fall into that category of guilt, that are not doing it.
Right.
Why are we not doing it? Why is it? Is it an education thing? Is it a time thing?
I think you haven't gotten hurt yet. I think you haven't had a vocal
Which
injury.
Is usually the way it works, right? We have to experience the worst case scenario before we smarten up, right?
Yes, because I will tell you, before my vocal injury when I was 24, so long, long time ago, I gave myself vocal nodes, doing too many shows back to back to back, all live theater. I bent my vocal cords. So when I was trying to sing, I would try and I would have this breath first, like, And another woman in the show with me heard it and went, ooh, you need to see someone tonight. So they gave me, an otolaryngologist scoped me, actually went down my nose at the time, and took pictures of my vocal folds. And your vocal folds aren't muscles. It's the muscles around them, but they're these really tiny little white membranes that touch each other. And mine had bent. They'd created a callus where they were bumping. So air was slipping by. They couldn't do this. And so they said, you need to leave the show. You can't perform in the show in Seattle. And I was like, seriously? Because if I had, I would never have sang again. So even though we wait till we're hurt to find out something bad is happening, they don't do laryngectomies. They don't fix your voice. They can't repair it. They do some surgeries. Well, they'll remove the nodes, Adele. But we don't get another one of these. So what we want to do is take really, really good care of it. Came out of that, I didn't talk for 6 weeks, complete vocal rest. And then I stopped doing shows back to back. And when I started doing voiceover, my first thought was, how am I going to do that? I have a vocal existing PTSD, old sports injury. It's the best way to look at it. How am I going to handle doing an audiobook? How am I going to handle screaming for a video game? How am I going to handle all these fun animation? And so because of that, my thought was always vocal health first for me. And so that's why I always warm up. And I've managed to do, you know, long days, whether I'm either in multiple sessions and or teaching and or in rehearsal singing that night, you know, 12, 13-hour days. And I'm okay because of the warm up and because of the warm down. And because I think it was the art and science of the performing voice. I went to that in 2014. And Dr. Ingo Tietze and another woman, Melissa Cross, were there. And they're the ones that talked about SOVT, semi-occlusion of the vocal tract, and this straw therapy that was helping rockers, like people who would really, like death metal singers, not hurt their voices.
Some of those guys do some really crazy things to their voice. Like, wow, I don't even understand how they make the sounds that they make.
Oh, I don't either. I don't.
Yeah.
But they're using straws so that they're healthy and they can actually have voices past their 20s. So that's
interesting. Yeah. So, something that you just said that got me thinking too, though, you know, we're obviously talking about this from the voiceover perspective, going into the booth, doing sessions. But I was just thinking as you were talking, you mentioned about, you know, doing my 12 or 13 hour days and coaching and all these different things. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? There are days when I spend 6 hours on Zoom and I may not even be in the booth, but I'm spending 6 hours on Zoom. And in reality, I'm probably using my voice more doing 6 hours worth of Zoom sessions than if I was going in the booth and, you know, knocking out a few auditions or something like that. But it would never, ever occur to me. I go in the booth and I think I should probably do something, and then I don't. But it would never occur to me before I sit down for a day full of Zoom sessions to warm up.
How do you feel on a day you've been sick the day before and you go in and you can hear there's that little bit of, you want to kind of clear your throat, and there's that extra layer of mucus? What do you do on those days?
I drink so much water and I pee every 12 minutes.
And hydration. Hydration's totally going to help. And I think depending on what we're doing, the complexity of what we're reading, if it's fairly simple, if it's not going to be what I call expensive use of the vocal folds, like I love to look at it like money. Some people have $1 million Swiss bank accounts right here. It's not fair.
Right.
They're never going to get hurt. They literally can scream all day long and it never hurts them. And because of my injury 26 years ago, I have a checking account, like a credit with like $3,750. That's all I have every week.
Yep.
And if I don't warm up and put the money back in the bank, then after one session, I start to feel it. You start to feel that little bit. When people start rubbing their neck like this, this is a very bad sign.
This is a sign
something's going on. And if we're whispering, we're making it worse. So the first thing we want to do is also pay attention to all of our filler sounds during the day. For me, it was correcting my dogs. I have a German Shepherd and I have a Corgi. And I love, and the one of the things they teach in dog training is to go at when the dog's in trouble, right? At. That's two hot, the truly hard glottal starts right on the cords. You're taking your cords and you're going bam, bam. And if you do it a few times, it's no big deal. But if you do that all day, that's what builds up the calluses.
Over time.
Yeah, so harsh glottal onset. So I learned to stomp twice when I was injured to get my dogs to stop. And now I use an S sound because it doesn't hurt if they're doing something I need them to quit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Filler noises, extra noises. Even the I just said, paying attention to that all day. And they don't really recommend people go on vocal rest anymore, like complete vocal rest. But I did that for 6 weeks, where I would literally hold up a piece of paper to my husband and go.
Sitting there with your little dry erase board, writing notes. Yeah.
We still have all the, we were scuba divers at the time. So mostly we would use like scuba diving hand signals. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Not okay. Need to go up.
Talk to me about, because you mentioned, you know, if you're holding your neck and things of that nature, what are some of the other things that could potentially be an early indicator?
Mm. Yeah.
We want to figure it out before it's too late, right?
Oh, yeah. And too late, there really isn't, there can be a too late. If you go do a video game session and you feel something pop, you need to go in to see a voice specialist ENT, which in LA, I think she just moved though. Dr. Rena Gupta was in LA. I think she's in Vegas now, but she could do referrals, right? You would want to see not just any ENT. If you go to your ENT that is does like your normal like sneezing, they don't understand this as well. So somebody that specializes in the performing voice up here in Seattle, it's the UW Performance Clinic. I'm sure LA has a few more that specialize in performers. So when we start to feel, so a pop is bad, but if we're just wanting to clear our throat a lot, more than usual. We really shouldn't clear our throats ever again. I was told that when I got injured to never
I've heard that
clear
too.
My throat
I've
again,
heard that that's
ever.
A really bad thing.
It is. I swallow.
That's like, how in the world do you break that habit?
I do, that's it.
A tough one.
I still clear my voice at least 15 to 20 times a year. And every time I do it, I go, don't do it, don't do it. And so I try to swallow. And so that moment of that tickle, so obviously grabbing water. And then if we feel, we just have that raspiness, that extra layer of like gelatin on the cords, like that's actual swelling. That's your cords swelling. And when they're swelling to protect themselves, they're going, hey, we're not okay. That is not the time to push on. And so one of the techniques that I learned that's so good, it's that straw phonation. And any size straw will work. There's ones that are bad for the environment, the ones that are great for the environment. But what most people don't know is it's the size of the straw that actually matters the most. It's hard to see that pink one. If they're tiny, like a coffee straw, that's what we want for healthy cords because we want our cheeks to puff up. And when I use a straw, I'm basically going, oh, 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 which is a vocal siren. But if I put a straw in my mouth and I seal my lips, some of that air is going, oh, that feels really good. Going back down my cords and it causes them to relax. And that right there, that just that little bit, if I did 3 minutes of that, plus a little bit of like maybe some tongue twisters, that's a warm up. In between takes where you're yelling into the mic, get down, soldier, soldier, get down. They're coming. Oh no. They also use cups. So you can use a cup to like yell those lines into to practice them, do them for real. And then the straw between takes. And then about 5 to 10 minutes after the session's over, singing through the straw, like happy birthday, whatever, that is vocal hygiene. And I do that every day. And not knocking lots of wood. My voice has been in great shape for years, even when I'm sick. And if it's a huge straw, it's too big. My cheeks aren't moving. It's not doing me any good at all. I have to make the straw smaller with the bottom of my finger. And it's just, oh, 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 it sounds really weird. I've been in the car. I remember leaving the studio years ago and using the straw all the way home and thinking, I wonder if I'll get pulled over. This has to look really weird to somebody.
Yeah, what is she doing?
Right? But it was
this
very,
this is
going to
be a
good
problem for the Canadian voice actors, though, because now that our governments at various and assorted levels have worked so hard to keep us safe from straws, they're basically like an illegal item in this country. It's like contraband to have a straw now.
Oh, this is plastic. This is terrible.
You probably go to jail or something for having a straw. Right. So in Canada, we're going to have to hollow out wooden dowels.
Well, the first thing you can do, and this would be for anyone who's watching today or like, I don't know, their voice is hurting today and they're like, I don't have a straw in the house. You can use your knuckles. So as long as you've washed your hands, you're somewhere that's not, you know, going to get you in trouble with like germs. But if you take your knuckles and put them together and put them up against your lips, it's not quite as good. Does the same thing. It's just obnoxious. And I can't imagine driving home while doing that.
Yeah.
But that's a quick way. If you were in a session and you think, I do take straws with me. Oh, the old days, we went to sessions in the studio. They still happen sometimes. But, you know, I remember having a straw with me. in my backpack everywhere I go so I can pull it out and use it. And again, it doesn't matter if it's a gigantic straw because I can make it smaller with my finger. But you know, if you want a quick hack, because you can also, and she did not pay me to advertise her, but I love her. Mindy Pack created something called the Voice Straw. And that's a pack of four different size straws and a cleaning thing. And they're all metal. They're good for the environment. She sells those. Or you can just go get a juice box at the grocery store. Because that, if the juice box still has the little plastic, well, as long as it still has a little plastic straw in it, those are the perfect size straws.
And then you get to do a vocal warm up and have a little delicious treat while you're at it, and correct. feel like you're a kid again.
And
for anybody that's watching, or for anybody that's listening to the audio version of this, you're going to have to jump over to the YouTube channel and watch so you can see some of these demonstrations of what is going on right now. But it's, I guess, it feels ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm even watching you and I'm like, obviously you don't care. You're just like,
nope.
Whatever. I'm sitting here and I'm like, I would feel so ridiculous doing this, but I would probably feel so much more ridiculous if one day I cause harm to my vocal cords and, you know,
well, imagine,
no longer perform in the booth.
This is going to come out after VO Atlanta, right? But let's imagine we are all at VO Atlanta and we've all been talking to everyone we love. And by the third day, we're rubbing our throats. What I will promise you,
toast.
97% of everyone there is rubbing their throat by day three, yeah. Going, oh, yep. I'll be fine. I'm just going to push through. Or I love when I walk up to people at the airport at the end and they're just like, it's been great to see you. Okay, that's the time to have a straw. So, let's say you're going to go to the one in August, you know, or anything else later this year. Get your game on any of the conferences. That's when you want to test it. Because a lot of you are going to think, I don't need to do that. And it's true. You don't until... But here's my challenge would be use it at a conference and you'll understand why I'm evangelical. Because 10 minutes with a straw in your hotel room at the end of the night, all four nights, and then maybe a little bit on breaks, you will probably sound more like yourself when you leave.
That is so valid. It's so true on the conference side.
Right.
I think about coming after the end of the weekend, after the end of the first day,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm the guy that's like, after 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, you can't find me. I've already gone back to the room because I'm a wuss and I'm old or whatever. But it's also partly that. It's just everybody wants to talk. I want to talk to everybody, but I can only do so much of that, especially if you're teaching on top of that,
right.
when you're at the events. But it's just one of those things that we don't think about. And I think that's probably the most eye-opening part of all of this to me is I came in with the intention of let's do this interview and talk about this before we go into doing sessions, but not even thinking about all of the other applications that it has. When you've got that Zoom meeting, when you're doing that 2-hour online workout class through the
yes.
GVAA
oh,
or
yeah.
VO Peeps or Gravy for the Brain, and you're having an opportunity to do performance, when you're in coaching sessions while you're training for your demo or whatever. Yeah. I mean, there's 100 different applications where we're using our voice on an ongoing basis, and this would be helpful. If you want to make more money in your voiceover business, you've got to get more clients. And if you want to get more clients, you've got to get more leads. The more people who hear your demo, the better your chances of getting to that booking. So the question becomes, how do we find more leads? Where do we look for them? How do we reach out to them? And what do we say? These are all things that you're going to learn in VoiceOver Marketing Playbook. It is a step-by-step marketing course that is designed to teach you how to find your own leads, build your own client base, and become the consistently working voice actor that you want to be. Playbook is back April 2nd through the 11th, 2024. And you'll be able to get the details at voiceovermarketingplaybook.com. That's voiceovermarketingplaybook.com.
Now, back to our show.
I'm curious, maybe this is a dumb question, but is there a clock? If you're going in to record a 30-second commercial, you're okay. But if you're going to be talking for more than X number of minutes, you're working on a 25-minute e-learning module, then you should do this. Or if you're going, you know, you mentioned a 4-hour video game session where you're doing all kinds of grunts and groans and whatever, you should do this. Is there... Like, do you understand what
like
I'm saying?
Like a schedule, almost like, yeah. And I
like, do I need to do a workout before this one, but I don't, or a warm up before this one, but not this one? Or if I'm doing this kind of session, I only need this much of a warm up, but I'm doing this kind of a session, I should do this much of a warm up.
Absolutely. And I'd say what I do in the morning is I get my coffee and my water. This is what I do. I've got coffee, I got water. And as I'm coming, I'm just going to do a couple commercial auditions and I'm out of here. I'm coming down the stairs humming and chewing. One, two, three, a count to five, and I'm done. That's it. No more than that. That is my warm up. Because I don't need to. I'm just going to go, tastes good. And I'm done. If, on the other hand, I'm going to be doing something. There was a video game I worked on this summer, and she owns a kickboxing clinic. And it hasn't come out yet, but there's a lot of yelling, a lot of countdowns. She's yelling at the players. It was really intense. And I had to match the vocal intensity of the mocap performer. That's a full warm up. You can over warm up, too. The trick is to match it to what you need to do that day. And so that's where I even stuck them on YouTube. If you do Seattle Voice Academy warm-ups, you'll find me doing my standard warm-up. And it has the straw stuff in it too. Because it was years of my showing people how to do warm-ups and finally like, I'm just going to put it on YouTube and you guys. And then you can figure out what you want to do later. It's just my warm-up. So I do that. So it's maybe 5 minutes is all I'm going to do.
Okay.
And now if I'm singing, let's say I'm doing a show, like I'm doing my show, Broken Wide Open, is at the Freehold. It's in Seattle next week. That's different. About an hour before the show, I go upstairs and I start my humming and I do my singing and I have a whole, like, it's about 12 minutes to do my singing warm-ups, and then I will work my articulators. And so it's a different kind of warm-up. They're similar, but I don't sing the whole show before I go perform it, because that's like running a 5K before you do a marathon. It's a really bad idea. So instead, the trick is you need to warm up and learn, how much do you really need? And you probably need less than you think. It's just get everything awake and moving so you're not you can pull these muscles. Your CMSs, and I can't remember what they stand for right now, cardioid. Anyway, these guys can easily be pulled. And so again, if you're walking around rubbing on the side after a video game session, you may have gripped with all of these muscles. And we really, that's that warming up sets you at neutral. And then making sure that in between sessions, and we're gonna be, there's no way to do a video game, in my opinion, or really crazy animation voices and not be expensive. They're expensive use of the vocal fold. An hour e-learning is probably costing $3.
Yeah.
An all-day audiobook session is probably costing $50. So I'd warm up for that because you've got a lot. So, but that's like more than, that's like if I'm doing like a 2.5 hour session, then a break, and then another 2 hour session. That's a lot of talking, but it's not forced because most likely the audiobook energy is going to be that, I call it what, listening energy. You're still in the story, you're doing it really well, but you're not pushing. It's when I've
so
turned.
So it's not even exclusively the length of the session.
It's how
or
hard
how
are you
long
pushing?
You're talking. It's what you're doing. Because I'm thinking back in the fall, I did the most intense e-learning project that I've ever done. It was field manuals. And I had to map out, for the first time in my life, I had to actually plan out a schedule for recording. Because it was basically an audiobook. Yeah. And I'd never done anything like it before. But so I'm in the booth. I had put 2 hours into my schedule every morning for like a 3 week period to go in and record. So I was recording at the same time every day and going in and doing this. And I remember thinking like an hour and a half in of just continuously going, I'm like, holy crap, if I don't finish this chapter pretty soon, I'm not going to sound the same at the end of this chapter as I sounded at the beginning of this chapter.
Right.
So is this technique, is there a recovery element?
Mm-hmm.
To this? Can you kind of reset?
Oh, yeah. So let's say, okay, so here, that's 2 hours a day. Man, that's so lovely. In January, I got a call from an author, and she's like, I was going on the VO cruise with Bob Bergen, and she's like, hey, I have a book. Can we get this done this week? And I'm like, maybe? How many finished hours? And so now we're looking at, I planned my schedule too, but I think I had 4 coaching sessions, 2 classes, and now 2 to 3 sessions a day. To get it done by Friday.
I couldn't do it.
I don't think I should do it very often. That was very expensive use of my vocal folds.
Yeah.
But I used the straw the whole session. So full warm-up, because that's an expensive day. All day long, holy cow.
Yep.
So full warm-up. Not a singing warm-up. I'm not singing. But the talking. I then did my first session, And in on all breaks, I'm walking around the house going, and all birthday. And then I come down. And even that, that I did right there, I feel the reset. You feel everything kind of go. And so if you were doing, let's just say, 3 sessions of 2 hours a day, because that was due, is 18 modules and due on Thursday, you would want to use the straw just to reset on your breaks. Or occasionally you might do a phrase and then go, In module 18, we think that, right? So
you just get that reset. Because that's, I remember thinking there were days, because it was just continuous reading, right? I've been doing e-learning so long, I can sit down with it and I can just kind of go through it. Yes. There's not a lot of stop and start or whatever, but I just remember thinking like by an hour and a half in, I'm starting to feel a little
this,
like I'm chewing gravel a little bit, right? I'm starting like it's, and I'm like, I'm worried that I'm not going to sound the same from 1 minute to the other. Okay. So that brings up another interesting question then. I was very intentional about recording this book at the same time every day. So I put a 2 hour block in, I'm going in every day from 10 until noon.
Yep.
My thinking being that if I'm maintaining a relatively regular routine over the course of a 24 hour day, you know, sleep the same time, wake up the same time, in theory, my voice should sound roughly the same at the same time. Right. So if I go in and record every day from 10 till noon, I should have continuity of voice throughout this. If you don't have the option to do that, If you're having to record a lengthy project, an e-learning, an audiobook, et cetera, but you're having to record at different times of the day just because of your schedule, maybe you got a day job, you got shift work or whatever, does this technique give you the ability to reset and so you do sound the same no matter what time of the day you're recording?
Yes. And I used to think a little bit the same way you did until I realized that if I warm up, it doesn't matter what time, unless I'm sick. So the things that are going to impact you, alcohol dries you out. Cough medicine, cold medications dry you out. Those things can impact you during the day. How much water you drink will affect you as well. So as long in my experience personally, if I am warmed up, then I sound exactly the same all day long. Because I did all my early recording when Maddie was in bed as a baby, my little girl. So, you know, I was recording from 9 to midnight for several years, right? Or in the middle of the night if she got me up and I couldn't sleep. I'm just going to go work on a book. Now I have to record in the mornings. All of my auditions are pretty much before the rest of my day blows up. And so I'm doing that early. And so that warm up gives me consistency of sound.
Many more hours of my day potentially.
And warming up and warming down. Because again, nobody really wants to warm down. I really think we all need to be like chanting, warm down, warm down. And then there needs to be like another survey.
Okay. So talk about that a little bit more. Talk about warming down. Is it the same?
It's easier.
Okay.
Yeah. So I spent 5 minutes warming up or less. You know, I just got everything moving. And there's, because if I come down here and I'm like not warmed up, I can do BMW commercials and they're great. But that's not my core sound, right? So I'm getting into the core sound that'll sound the same for the book all the way through the book. And then when I finish the session, the first thing I do is I grab a straw and I have them, I can count 6 in here. I grab a straw, put it in my mouth, seal my lips, and I sing along with the radio or happy birthday for at least 2 to 5 minutes. So it's, I can't give an example here, we'd all get bored. But so you kind of, you walk around the house going.
We'll make that an extra for after the show. Somebody can come back and watch the video.
And it is, it is utterly ridiculous. But my whole family, they know me. They don't care. The dogs, they don't care. But it's that length of 2 to 5 minutes while I'm making more coffee. And then I had a student years ago. He was sitting in class and he's like, yeah. This is so long ago we were in a classroom. And he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. She's so full of it. I can tell. She's just whatever. And he worked at Starbucks back when Starbucks had straws. Anyway. So but he didn't believe me.
I remember those good old days when you could go and get a straw.
And class was in person. Yeah. So, but I remember he came back the next week and he walked in with straws for everyone. He walked around going, this is for you. This is for you. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, turned around. He goes, it's magic. It's flipping magic. It felt like butter. Shauna, my voice was butter. And I was like, I know.
You're sitting there talking all day, right? You're behind the counter talking to customers all day long. This is, man.
It's not just voice
applications
actors.
So many applications that you're not thinking about. I want to talk about, we mentioned hydration.
Yeah.
you keep talking about your coffee, which my assumption was always that that was bad.
It is.
Now, I don't drink coffee, so I don't know. I have pictures of, you know, old school sessions of Movie Trailer Guys happening back in the day where they're sitting in the booth with their rum and Coke and their cigar and they're, you know, just cranking out sessions in between puffs with that, you know, deep, smooth, silky voice or whatever. And
yeah.
And I'm sitting in the booth, you know, swigging my Dr. Pepper, editing out the occasional belch, wondering why this is so hard. Let's talk about hydration, the importance of hydration, water versus coffee versus yeah. whatever, and how that impacts things.
And I mean, I'm not an otolaryngologist, so all you get is an actor's opinion here. And this is true, when I was singing and touring and doing big, you know, 8 shows a week musical theater for years, I had no dairy. I had convinced myself that dairy would destroy my voice. That's not true. It does add a little more phlegm, I've discovered, but I can go upstairs mm-hmm. and have a huge latte. I come down here and I have a little more mouth noise. Okay, that's fine. But when I go to have coffee, if I just drank coffee, it would eventually dry out my cords. And again, this is where I'm not a doctor. This is just, I remember feeling this. I start to feel like there's less viscous mucus. You want that on your cords. When our right. cords don't have enough mucus on them, I'm sure there's proper names for all of this, we want to clear our throats. That's that scratchy feeling we get. So okay. water, what I've been told by all my coaches and teachers all the many, many, many years is that we need to drink 33 ounces of water 45 minutes before the work, the session, the rehearsal, the show. So we should have to pee really bad when the show starts. That's the rule. I was taught in college. If you don't have to pee,
that sounds like a bad idea when you think about it.
Oh, but you should see all of us running. We used to all run to the bathroom and then we go on stage because we wanted to make sure we had enough of that hydration plumping out the cords. And then for coffee, this is my opinion. It's not medical at all. I have an extra, like one of these for every cup of coffee I drink. So I do. I wake up in the morning. I have a couple of glasses of water right when I get up. And then I start my coffee and I know I'm going to have 2 cups of coffee and then I'm going to have 2 cups of decaf. So I know I'm going to have 4 cups of coffee and it's just like, I have to, I'm not going to stop. But I try to drink
my vocal warm up, if you will, was, you know, I have my Yeti, which is, you know, give or take what, 500 mils or something mm-hmm. basically. So my warm up was before I would go in to record, I drink one Yeti. And then I'm like, oh, now I'm good to go. That's all.
It takes 45 minutes. Kind of think of your vocal folds like those little crystals that you put in a plant. And then these, I don't know if they still sell them, but you put these little white crystals in the plant and then you put water on them and then they plump up over time. That's the stuff around your vocal folds. So if you drink water, it takes 45 minutes. That water never touches your folds. Those are different. They're different chambers. And so you have to let 45 minutes for it to circle around your body, hydrate you, and then your body makes the mucus. It's good mucus, not bad mucus. It's not the stuff they were coughing up. And then your folds are ready. So it's a delayed process. So we can still drink water during a session. We start to choke. We want to have water right here so we can make it feel better. Although the straw is better. I don't touch my water.
It is
now.
Honestly a wonder that I have ever been able to advance in my voiceover career, because I'm not even kidding, Shauna. I will roll out of bed, drink a glass of water on my way down to the studio, go right into the booth and just start ripping off a, you know,
but
huge e-learning project.
But I do that for e-learning too. I don't do much. I'm just doing like one. No, I'm sorry. The correct answer was weapons of mass destruction. I don't think about when it's e-learning and audiobook, both have such a lovely calm.
You're not calmness. Pushing it.
Yeah,
right?
You're just settled.
Having a conversation.
Yes,
but it's the length, I guess, that
length
depends.
You
on
definitely want to warm
how
up.
How long
and
you're
reset.
Sitting in there and recording the
reset,
session
reset.
For?
If we come down and like one of the if it's crazy character voices and we start any of those, the minute we start to push, I'm changing. That's the stuff. So if I decide to rasp out for 4 hours. Ooh, right? If I'm going to do a character who's like global fry, fry's really cool, right? Because you're taking one of your vocal folds and moving it at a different speed than the other one. That's a really expensive, I can feel that. Very expensive vocal choice. So if I want to do some fry, that's fine, but I better be ready to repair it.
I think you touched on this, but I'd like to go a little deeper into it, because, you know, we talked about resetting, you know, you're in a lengthy session, you do the straw, you can reset so that you can survive the session, or, you know, go longer in the session or whatever. But you did talk about overdoing it. What does that look like, and how do you know? Is it just because you've done it too many minutes, or do you start to feel something differently, or how do you know when you're overdoing it?
You should not be tired by the end of your vocal warm-up. That's a bad sign. I remember years ago going upstairs and sing, like, I do my warm-ups for singing. This is in college. And then I would sing like 7 songs all the way through at full speed, and then go to my vocal session, or then go to a show that night. That is not helpful. It's literally like running a 5K and then starting at the start line for a marathon. You know, a marathon of a 4-hour session, or like a 2.5-hour session of e-learning, we want to get just warmed up enough. Everything's moving. It feels good. And then we start the work. And then as soon as the work is done, we warm down just like we would if it was a triathlon or whatever. Get all that lactic acid out, quick little warm up, and then we're okay to start again whenever we need to. But if we get all excited about, and we get like cups and straws, it's this weird cup thing that's sitting here too. One of the techniques that Mindy teaches is so cool. I went to a thing with both Mindy and Dr. Rena. And who else was there? Whole bunch of video game folks that were absolutely phenomenal. But this, you put the straw on the bottom of it. So I'm holding like a black cup. It's got a silver straw pointing out of the bottom of it, but you don't put the straw in your mouth. You put the whole cup over your mouth. And then you practice your lines into this. And I was like, what? That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And this is where I was like skeptical. And this isn't that many years ago. I was like, that's just weird. But if the line is soldier, soldier, get down, I could just yell it. But if I practice getting everything in alignment, they can explain this better than me. But soldier, soldier, get down. And you guys, you can hear I was really screaming get down into the cup, which I won't do into our ears right now. But that, it doesn't hurt. It didn't hurt at all. So practicing that those action sounds into this cup, then you do them for real, which is expensive, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then reset.
Reset with the
straw. I would never, ever do action sounds as a warm-up. That would be a huge mistake, because I would be spending all of my money and I would be at a negative balance when I went into the session.
I'm thinking about once upon a time, I was working in radio, and I had a cold. My boss made me come in anyway. That was the days of radio. I sounded terrible. Mm-hmm. Like I still have the audio of the recording somewhere. I sounded ridiculous. It was so stupid that I was even on the air. And people are literally calling into the studio to find out what's going on.
You're because adenoidal.
Of how bad I sounded. And somebody, it was partly, I was supposed to, my doctor wanted, I had a doctor's note to be on vocal rest.
Right.
And my boss is like, no, you're coming in and doing your show.
Yeah.
And so my voice was like six octaves lower than it usually is, and just growl. Like it was just
swelling.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so somebody calls in and they tell me, you know, what you got to do is you got to go home and you got to rub Vicks Vapor Rub on your feet and put your socks on and sleep all night. And this is how you're going to, you know, clear your system of the cold virus or whatever. And so there's a part of me that's like, this is the stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my life. And I know that you're just screwing with me right now just to see whether or not I'm dumb enough to fall for it. But there's also a part of me that is feeling like I'm so desperate, I'm going to try anything at this point. So I'm going to go home and put Vicks Vapor Rub on my feet. This is how when I watch you, and you guys, if you're listening to the show, I encourage you again, you got to go watch the video version
weird
on YouTube.
Looking.
But when you're sitting there with the cup, I'm like, you're totally screwing up with us right now. You just want to see whether or not we're dumb enough to fall for it. And we're going to get this cup and do this ridiculous exercise. But it really does work.
Here's my take. If I have to do a video, that kickboxing video game, I wouldn't have made it through those sessions. I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have damaged myself, but I would have held back. Okay, here's what would have happened. If I didn't believe in cups and straws, and I already know they work, so I'm like, I'm already so evangelical, I'm good. But I would have held back out of fear of my past injury. I would have chosen not to give it my all. And so I'm able, because I know I have these tools, I'm able, and again, I'm still paying attention to my body. We don't want popping. We don't do something that's going to really harm us. So the warming up helps with that. And then I still make safe vocal choices. That's through training, right? But then I don't hold back. I can be on the battlefield, or I can be some crazy purple monster. You know, that's totally okay to make those choices, knowing full well I have the tools to feel better. And I think it was Sissy Jones who was at that, who also had the cup and straw. And she said it was so nice to go upstairs and talk to my family at dinner and not be like, can't talk. I'm on vocal rest. I have a session tomorrow. And someone else, I can't remember the name, told a story years ago. Had done a video game. I was in a class with him. And he said he did this amazing vocal. He had this really great game, but just blew his chords out. He had a promo for ESPN the next day that he got replaced on.
Oh, that would suck.
Right? That. Because, yeah. I mean, video games are fun, but, you know, you look at promo ESPN financially. Promo ESPN versus video game. Okay, the priorities, right? So if we have that training to use the cups, know our instrument, he could have done both. So that's a big deal.
That the point that you made there that I thought was really interesting was the idea of holding back in a session. And I wonder how many voice actors do that, because whether it's just that they don't want to blow out in that session, or they know that they've got to do another session later that day, or they've got to do something else tomorrow or whatever.
Yep.
And so how many of them consciously or unconsciously are holding back in the session?
Lots.
Trying to protect. And you're saying, do these things. And you don't have to do that.
Yep. It's like magic.
What about with the warm-up? I'm curious. So you go into the studio in the morning and you do your session and you do your warm-up before you go into the studio in the morning. Or, you know, some of these, maybe you're one of these people that has the routine. Like, I go in the studio every morning at 9 o'clock and I start cranking out my online casting auditions. And so you go in, you warm up, you do your online casting auditions, and now you're done until something comes in or books, or you've got a session in the afternoon. Do you just warm up in the morning, or do you warm up before every session? Like, if you've warmed up before in the morning when you've gone in to do your auditions, and then at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got a session, are you doing that again?
I'm waiting for the day that I have time off in the middle of the day. I swear it'll happen. My days tend to be pretty packed. Not always, but let's just say I had a lovely day where maybe I warm up. Typically, I'm going to warm up before doing a bunch of auditions. And if it's the pay-to-plays or something, they tend to be fairly chill. There can be character stuff in there, but mostly it's pretty chill. But typically lately, I'm getting stuff from my agent, and it's all character all the time in the morning. Yeah. Oh, geez. So, no, if I got to do six characters and get those off to them by, you know, 11 a.m., I'm warming up, the full warm-up, to do that crazy expensive stuff. And then I know that I'm meeting with people at maybe 11 and 1 and 3. Then I'm picking my kid up. Then I'm coming back, and I'm, in this week, going to a tech rehearsal where I'm going to sing all night. Wow. So I probably will do my heavy warm-up before those big character auditions, and then not worry about it at all. Just pay attention. I'll reset if I need to, but I probably won't need to, until I'm about to go to the tech rehearsal that night, which has singing. So new skill. So that's when I get up at the piano and I just do the singing ones, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, whatever I'm going to do. Sing for maybe 10 minutes, then go to rehearsal. And then all the way home from the tech rehearsal, that straw's in my mouth. I'm hoping I don't get pulled over. Yeah. So I can wake up the next morning and do it all over again. And so if that's one day. But another day might be, I sleep in. I don't have anything in the morning. I drop off Maddie at 6 a.m. I have a chill morning. I'm working on marketing. I'm sending emails out to everybody, right? I'm doing that. I haven't bothered to warm up. I'm in my jammies just sending emails. And then I get a huge audition and it's like, rush, get this to us right away. I warm up right then before the expensive audition. If it was e-learning, oh, I would hum and chew to five. That's it. And then if I'm, what else would be really expensive? Oh, a session. Ooh. So if it's a commercial session, I still do a pretty nice warm up. That's to make me calm. If it's some big source
connect
thing,
because
I want to get calm.
We've all been in the session for the 30-second commercial that took 3 hours.
Yep.
By the time they had you do 726 takes of it,
or you warmed up,
which they go back and they
use
the original. But
right, right, yes.
So I know that through the Seattle Voice Academy, I know you have a vocal warm up, a little mini course that's available. Talk to us a little bit about that course, because for anybody that's listening to this that's thinking, okay, I need to understand this a little bit deeper. I want to really get into this whole cups and straws thing, or hopefully by now, you know, we're 40 minutes in, they see the value in it. So if they want to dive a little bit deeper, talk to us a little bit about that course, and then we can link that up in the show notes
so people
can get access.
I made it a couple years ago. So I'm going to go in there and do some upgrades too. It is going to be about the straws. It's a lot of what we talked about. It is walking everyone through a warm-up. It's the people in class that say to me, oh, I've never warmed up. Oh, how do you, if you haven't gone to, I mean, who teaches warm-ups? Unless you have been a trained singer or you went and you did a theater program in college. Even in high school, the warm-ups were probably everyone singing in a circle, and no one's going to go back and do red leather, yellow leather every morning. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So what are professional warm-ups? So that the class very much is, what is a short, quick professional warm-up that you can do anywhere? I'm typically walking around making coffee while doing it. And then I talk about the straws and cups just because I know how well they work. And I think I get really evangelical about warming down because no one does it. And when you do it, and the, oh, and I'll tell you, I don't always warm down. I forget. Right. So maybe there's something huge that happens, like a video game, something, or I'm just doing a lot of really heavy duty stuff. And I forget because something happens. I can tell the next day I forgot.
Yeah.
It's just like if you jump off your bike and you didn't warm down, and my knees, you know, it's that whole lactic acid. So I really try to make sure I warm down. So that's what that class is about. It's just basically what we talked about today, only I break it down slowly. And it has links to places like, you know, Mindy stuff. I think I have links to the art of the performing voice. Because the thing is, the voice, like Nick Redmond, who was on your show, the performing arts voice is fascinating. And I could really go woo-woo and get really weird and geek out about the voice for weeks, which we won't right now. But I've actually traveled to Europe, to France, and studied with there's Lessig, there's Fitzmaurice, there's Linkletter. I'm naming all these different voice schools you can study about freeing the voice. And this is some weird stuff. And I remember going into some of these classes, especially Linkletter, and watching the instructor put her hands on the person's face and kind of like jiggle them. And I was like, what is that? And it works. Or Fitzmaurice, where you're in these, like, you're trying to get your parasympathetic nervous system to kick in. And so you're doing these weird, like, shaking. You walk into a room of people doing Fitzmaurice exercises, you might run screaming. I mean... It's really, I remember being in France.
Maybe everybody needs to be exposed to that because then the cups and straws thing will feel so much more mild.
It'll be so normal. Yeah. It'll be so normal. Because I remember being in France and we were all crawling around the floor. Actors are weird anyway, right? But these were people who weren't professional actors. I think I had the degree. And we were all crawling around the floor blindfolded, doing the weirdest stuff. And the man who came, Roy Hart Theater, The man who came and did the Roy Hart Theater said that the human voice can do 8 octaves. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? One person can do 8 octaves? So I read his book. And it's dark, dark stuff. But Alfred Wolfson studied soldiers dying in the World War I trenches. Oh. And he could hear that these dying soldiers were making the full 8-octave sound in their deaths, which is like, this is really dark stuff. And so people started studying this because he also lost his voice. He had dysphonia, probably from stress and trauma, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so he starts studying this and starts teaching. And while I was in France, I added an octave to the bottom of my range.
Wow.
And about an octave and a half to the top. So I went from a 2.5 to real close to 4.
So you're singing Mariah Carey at Christmas parties now.
I try not to. But you know, that when the straw's on my mouth, that... Uh-huh. I can get pretty high. It's crazy. And I can sing any baritone song I want now. Like, I can finally sing with Billy Joel, right? Like, for years, I couldn't. These are life skills. So the straw is minor, but the study of the human voice is such a – that's where I can geek out, and I love it. And it's my thing.
So talk to us. Where do we go? I know it's on the Seattle Voice Academy website. What's the website so that we can go and look this up? And again, I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, SeattleVoiceAcademy.com. And you'll find the voice stuff under self-paced courses. I don't teach that stuff live for all the weird reasons, right? Nobody wants to be, it's too weird. You can work on it on your own in the privacy of your own studio.
I'm going to have to watch when I'm in Atlanta. I'll have to see if I can find some straws and smuggle them back to Canada in my suitcase.
Uh-huh. Actually, you probably, yes. For sure, if you get the juice boxes, they haven't taken them off that yet. Starbucks quit having straws. Because, straws are bad for the environment. So, again, if everyone's thinking, oh, man, the environment, get metal straws. Those travel straws are all over the airport. If you get travel straws, especially, like, there's the one that expands out that you can just keep on your keychain. That's a brilliant idea. Just
so
wash
we'll have
your hands
branded... Seattle Voice Academy metal straws available for sale on the website by the time
I totally should do that.
by the time this episode goes live, right? And we'll be hand them out at all the conferences. We'll have the branded straws, so you can pick up your branded straw,
right?
Along with your mini
mugs.
Course.
I have mugs, like with ways to get work on them. But the straws are. I should do the straws.
I don't know why you haven't done this yet.
I'm going to do that.
There you go. Well, we just created accountability. Now I'm looking forward to seeing that as well.
Okay.
Well, Shauna, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad from the poll results. I was genuinely surprised to see that many people are warming up. I'd be curious to know what constitutes, you know, warm up for them. But hopefully they've picked up some techniques and some strategies that they can use here that are relatively simple. And especially, I think the idea of the reset throughout the day, if you're doing stuff, I think that's one that I definitely need to think more about. So thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. And hopefully we've all got even greater longevity from our voices now as a result of it.
Awesome. Thank you.
When you get home from VO Atlanta on Monday, my guess is that you want to be able to get back in the booth and start recording. But if you've been to VO Atlanta before, you know what it's like to use your voice too much over the course of the weekend and not be able to get back in on Monday. So hopefully, from some of the tips that you've picked up here from Shauna with Cups and Straws, we can make sure that you enjoy your weekend, you get to talk as much as you want to all of your friends and colleagues, and you're still able to get back in the booth on Monday to record. If you are using your cups and straws, we'd love to see some videos. Share them in your Reels or your Instagram stories. Make sure you tag me at Mark Scott and tag Shauna at Shauna Pennington Baird, and I will put that into the show notes so that you can tag us both. Looking forward to seeing you humming your happy birthdays with your straws. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.
The Everyday VOpreneur Podcast. Available everywhere fine podcasts are given away for free. Mostly, we think.
You have a great website, right? Well, make sure you host it at some place that doesn't suck. Hey, it's Brad Newman, fellow VO Pro for 28 years and owner of UpperLevelHosting.com. People ask why us, and that's simple. We make it easy, respect your time, save you money, and just make all the magic happen. You don't need to know all the tech stuff when it comes to hosting your website. We got you. Ask around. Tens of thousands of client interactions later and 6 years of amazing customer service and not a single negative complaint, ever. UpperLevelHosting.com.
And scene.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for hanging in. Thanks for hanging out. Want more VOpreneur goodness? Jump online at VOpreneur.com.